turn to Ephesians again. Ephesians. Hey, Brother Keith, are you going to ever get out of Ephesians? Well, I don't know. It's up to the Lord, okay? I try to follow His direction and His guidance with us as we go through this Bible. Like I said a few weeks ago, anywhere you read in the Word of God is good for us. It's profitable, you know, for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and righteousness, whatever, you know. And I thank God for the book of Ephesians. Thank God for Paul, the great writer he was, he is, and the great apostle he was, and the soul winner he was. Man, he was a lot for the Lord. And I just enjoy studying the life of Paul. I really do. And we're in Ephesians today in chapter number 5. As I look back on the book of Ephesians, we find that as we've gone through the first 4 chapters, Paul is again speaking concerning the church. He's comparing the church as likened to a body, first of all. The church is very important. As we have different members in our body, all our members are important. The body cannot function to its capacity without all the members that we have, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, our nose, and all this. Well, likewise, the church needs all the members. All the members of the church are very important. It doesn't matter who you are, what position you may hold. If you're a born-again child of God, you're a member of God's church, and you are important to Him. And that's good to know that. And he talks about that in chapter number 1, how the unity of the body works together. The hands work with the feet, you know, and all these eyes work with all the body, you know, the function of the body. And likewise, as part of God's church, we all function together for one purpose, and that is the winning of souls, helping people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And to, of course, edify the saint also, but winning souls is first. Also, in chapter number 2, we find that Paul talked about the church likened to a temple, likened to a temple. In chapter 3, Paul talked about the church likened to a mystery, a mystery. It's a mystery to us. It's a mystery to the world, the function of the church and the purpose of the church and the plan of the church. All these are very important. And then we talked about that chapter 4, how Paul talks about the church is likened to a new man, a new man. We talked about the new man and his position, your position in Christ Jesus as a new born-again creation in Christ Jesus, your position. Not only that, but also, he talked about also in the latter part of that chapter, the new man and his disposition. In other words, his practical living, what he does daily in his life and how important it is that it might magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to us. He's writing to as believers, faithful in Christ Jesus, that we might grow thereby, and that we might take heed to the word that he's talking about in our walk as believers and how important it is to live the Christian life. You know, it's wonderful to be saved, isn't it? But it's also important that we live the fact that we are saved. In other words, what is salvation? It's to me personally, yes it is, that I'm saved, but also it's to reach others also. And we can talk to people, and it's very important that we do. But again, the example that we are before people is also important. It's also important. So how we live the Christian life is very, very important. Now, today we get to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is writing here, and he's writing as the church is likened to a bride, a bride. We know as the church, born-again believers, we are the bride of Jesus Christ, are we not? We're the bride of Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing here concerning, again, the walk of the believer, the church, the bride. He's talking about her duties, our duty as the bride of Christ. In verses 1 through verse 21, we find this, and we'll cover this in the next few weeks. But also, he's talking in chapter 5 also, not only about the bride and her duties, he's talking also about the bridegroom and his devotion to the church, his devotion to us as church. He illustrates it by marriage. He illustrates it also by the demonstrations by the cross of Christ. And he's going to wrap it up one day at the rapture, you know, because of his love towards the church. So we're talking about the bride today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our duties as believers and as part of the church. We have responsibilities. You know, it's good to be saved. It's good to be part of a church. But in my individual life, I have duties, I have responsibilities that I need to realize and I need to uphold as a born-again child of God also. So we'll talk about chapter 5 today. As we look at this today, the believer is to walk following God. The believer is to walk following God. Now, I really believe this. I've read this, and I believe it's true. This is one of the greatest challenges in all the Word of God. The believer is to walk following God. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful now for this time. We thank you for the Word of God that you have given to us that we might open together today. And Lord, as we open it, as we read it, I pray the Spirit of God would be our teacher. And God, as we study it today, now, Lord, I just pray you would reveal truths to us, God, that we might apply in our own heart, in our own life, as we go through this journey towards heaven. Father, thank you for everyone this year. We rejoice, Lord, in this young man and being saved. God, I pray, Lord, he will continue to grow now. Lord, no telling what you may use him for. But Lord, we just commit his life to you. We thank you again for everyone this year. We do pray for those that are out because they're not feeling well. Some are traveling. I pray, Lord, for their protection and their help during this time. Now, Father, we're grateful again for everyone that's here now. Please give us understanding from your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, look in chapter 5 in verse number 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And we see here in these first 7 verses, the believer is to walk following God. The believer is to walk following God. And again, this is one of the greatest challenges in the Word of God, to walk following God. Now, the thing is this, we know that God is our pattern, right? We're to focus our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ, Him alone. You see, He is our pattern. And if we look at Him and look at His life, and we pattern our life after Him, well, then we're going to find ourselves walking, following God. Walking, following God. He is our great example, and I'm grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ and the example that He has set before us. Now, the believer follows God. Notice here, this idea of commitment, this idea of devotion, this idea of focusing upon Him, giving Him our attention as walking, following Christ, or walking, following God. This is very important here. We see here, a follower is an imitator. Okay? Somebody that copies somebody. Okay? We're to follow Him. We learn by imitating God ourselves. Christ said in Matthew 5, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven who is perfect. We also see God demands, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 19, verse 2. We're to be followers of God. God demands this. Now, be an imitator of God. Be an imitator of God. Follow Him. Not that we are to be friends of God. That's not what we're talking about. Not to be friends of God, even to the point not numbered among His followers. But we ourselves are to be an imitator of Him. Ourselves, you see. But we are to imitate Him. Notice in verse 1, Be ye therefore followers of God. Now, back up to chapter 4, look at verse 32. I want to connect verse 32 and also verse 1 of verse chapter 5. You know, last week we talked about this, how we're to walk in kindness, tenderheartedness, loving one another, forgiving one another. But look at it. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We see here, as we connect these verses right here, Paul is exhorting what? Kindness, forgiveness, and tenderheartedness. Okay? He's exhorting that. And now he's saying here that we are also to be like that. Be ye therefore. Be ye therefore. In other words, if we're going to follow God, we've got to be kind, we've got to be tenderhearted, anyway, and we've got to be forgiving. That's things that we have to do in our life to imitate God, because God is that way. That's His nature, you see. And so we find here that the word, you know, it's been said, when you see the word therefore, it's therefore person, purpose, you know. And he's connecting here, I believe, this verse with verse number 1. As we look at it here, as we see how God, we are to imitate God, who's always kind, who's always ready to forgive, He's always tenderhearted to you and I. He's always that way. Before I was saved, He was that way. Since I've been saved, He's that way. He always will be, you know, to me and towards me, excuse me, and towards you. Notice, first of all, He bore our faults, didn't He? He bore our faults. Now, if we're going to imitate God, what do we have to do? We have to learn to bear the faults of others. Okay? The faults of others, you see. And, you know, we have to do that. Also, He's ready to hear our cry whenever we ask for mercy, isn't He? Thank God He's always that way. Well, when somebody comes to me or comes to you asking for mercy, we are to give it. We're to display it. We're to demonstrate it in our lives. See, if we're going to be imitators of God. Also, we see not only that, but He never is weary in doing good for us, is He? He's always doing good for us. All the time, God is good. Well, likewise, see, we, as we're going to imitate God, we're to do good to others also. You see, if we're going to imitate God. And we are to be followers of God. Be ye followers of God. Now we are who? We're the bride of who? Christ. We are the church, right? We're not talking to lost people. We're talking to people that are saved all the way to heaven. The bride of Christ, we are to imitate God, our Heavenly Father. See, as the church, as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ here, you see. Now notice it says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. As dear children. Look at this. If your children love you, your children will what? They'll follow you. Right? Your children, your grandchildren, whoever, if they love you, they will follow you. Well, likewise, we can apply that to us who are beloved of God. We should follow His example. We should follow Him. Because we know He loves us. There's no one loves you or me any more than God does. No one. Therefore, we are, as the bride of Christ, as a member of the church of Jesus Christ, are to imitate and to follow Him. And to follow Him in our lives, you see. Now, notice the blessings of following God. Of course, we could stay here all for a month. The blessings of following God. You know, because most of you have experienced that in your life. But look, turn back to Luke chapter 14. I want to read a few verses this morning. Talking about following God, imitators of God. In Luke chapter 14, look at verse 27. We see, first of all, spiritual knowledge by following God. The Lord is going to teach us if we follow Him. Okay? He's going to teach us. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We know a disciple is who? A follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we see spiritual knowledge. God blesses us with spiritual knowledge by following Him, seeking after Him in our life, doing all we can to try to bring honor and glory to God. Also, the blessings of following God is found over in John. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse number 12. John chapter 8. The blessings of following God, imitating God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, Paul says in Ephesians. Look at John chapter 8 and look at verse number 12. Another blessing here we find from the Word of God. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Notice, he that what? Followeth me shall not walk in what? Darkness. See, if we are imitator of God, we will not walk in darkness. We will not walk in darkness. We follow God as dear children, he says. Look at it. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of what? Life. He'll have the light of life. You see, the blessings of following God, following the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. We see the spiritual knowledge he gives us. Also, the spiritual light he imparts to us as we journey and gives us insight from the Word of God. You know, that those nuggets we get sometimes, you know. We read these verses over and over and over and over again, and all of a sudden, pow, something pops out, you know, to us to encourage us in the Lord. So these spiritual blessings are wonderful. Now turn over to John chapter 10, over a page or two here. John chapter 10, and look at verse number 27. Excuse me. Another spiritual blessing of following God. John 10, verse 27. My sheep, what? Hear my what? My sheep, hear my voice. My, what power there is in those verses. That verse. My sheep, hear my voice. You see. And notice what else it says. And I know them, and they what? Follow me. Again, the verse, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The blessings of following God is the guidance through the still, small voice of God. I thank God for His voice. Thank God for His still, small voice that speaks to me and speaks to you. Time and time again in our life, day after day, He speaks to us, you see. The spiritual blessings, the blessings of following God, the blessings of imitating God. Now, again, I'm speaking to you as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church of the living God. See, the spiritual blessings that we have are the spiritual knowledge, the spiritual life, and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Also, in over 1 Peter, one more here, 1 Peter and chapter number 2. 1 Peter and chapter number 2. Think of verse 21. Another spiritual blessing we have from following God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. For even thereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an what? Example, that you should what? Follow His steps. Follow His steps. An imitator of God. We have here a divine example, don't we? A divine example, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the blessings of following God in our life daily as we journey here this pilgrim life. Now notice, back over in Ephesians, where we were, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 2 here. It says, and walk in love As Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, I want us to notice two things in this verse right here. We see here two things about the death of Christ. First of all, we see that he gave himself. Christ, he gave himself, okay? Now, he gave himself. He became my substitute. He became your substitute, did he not? Not only that, he took my place. He was there in my stead when he went to the cross. Now, that's his sacrifice. That's his love towards me. It is love towards you. That he became sin for us. He became sin for us. But notice also that verse says, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus went a step further. Also, we see here that Christ gave himself an offering to God. To God, his Father, okay? He sacrificed, he gave an offering to God, a sweet-smelling savor, not because of our sin, yes, but also because he wished to glorify his Father. His Father. He came to do what? The will of his Father, did he not? He did. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, yes, and die for us that needed to be saved, but also he came and did that as a sweet-smelling savor to his Father, God, that he might bring honor and glory to him. Bring honor and glory to him. See, we see here what Christ has done. By loving as Christ loved, we are imitators of Christ. We are imitators of God. By loving as he loved. Now, how is it possible for us to imitate God? How is it possible for us who are sinners to imitate God who is holy? How is it possible? Well, we see that, of course, in Christ Jesus, we have the new nature of Christ in us, do we not? We have the Holy Spirit. We are like Christ by nature. We find that God is a spirit, and we ourselves are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings now in Christ Jesus. We're spiritual beings. We can imitate God in very little ways, small ways, maybe I should say. Now, first of all, it has not been made known to us what we shall be. We know we're going to one day be like him, right? We don't know what that implies, but we know we're going to be different from what we are. Amen? We're going to be like him one day, okay? Now, we cannot imitate what we do not know, can we? It's impossible to do that. But on the other hand, there's something real about God that we do know. If we have seen Christ, he who sees Christ has seen who? God. If we've seen Christ, we've seen God. Now, what we see about Christ, if we imitate that, we're also imitating who? God. We're imitating God likewise. See, so again, we can imitate God in very little ways, but we can't imitate God. We can follow him. Okay? We can be what he wants us to be. Now, in what respect are we to imitate God? In what respects are we to imitate God? First of all, we are to imitate God in his gentleness with sinners. I'm amazed. I'm amazed how God was so generous to me before I got saved. I'm so amazed today how God is so generous to mankind today in the sinful world that we live in, ungodly world that we live in. How God is so gentle to sinners. He's gentle to sinners, you know. It's like in imitating God, when we go out and knock on doors and try to be a witness for Christ, and someone comes to the door and we introduce ourselves and say who we are and where we're from and what we're doing there. If that person, most likely if he's lost, he can do many things. And all of you run into different things, I'm sure. But if he'll say to you, I don't want nothing to do with what you got to do, what you got to present with me, and shut the door in your face, How do we feel? Well, if we let the flesh take control, we may say and think and do some things we shouldn't say and think and do, right? But we're to be gentle to that person. We're to be gentle to that person, you say. Like Christ is gentle to us as sinners, we're to be gentle to those people also. Because they know not where they're headed. They most likely don't care where they're heading. And that's sad. That's sad. On the other hand, if you knock on the door and somebody invites you into their house and you have the opportunity to sit down and talk to them maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and you talk to them about the Lord and you find out they're lost and they know they're lost, and you're in your heart, you're so bad you want them to get saved, but for some reason they won't trust Christ as Savior, and you do everything the Spirit of God leads you to do, and you get so, you know, within you, you're getting so anxious, you know, to see that person trust Christ as their Savior, but they just won't do it for whatever reason. They're not ready, they say, or whatever they say. Well, we're to be gentle to that sinner. We're to be gentle to that sinner. And sometimes it's hard to. It's hard to. Because the flesh will rouse up if we're not careful, you know. And we'll get to the point sometimes, and I must confess, I've done this in my life, especially years ago when I first became a Christian, started knocking on doors. Get people to get on their knees and pray a prayer after me and hopefully get saved. But I'm afraid many of them prayed a prayer after me and they were just as lost when they got up as they were when they got down there. Because I wasn't gentle to them. I wasn't gentle to them. God is gentle to sinners. We're to be gentle to sinners also, you know. Even in our witnessing and trying to get people saved. So we see in respect we're to be imitators of God in his gentleness with sinners. Also in his long-suffering patience. Long-suffering patience. God is long-suffering to mankind, isn't he? He's very patient. He's a very patient God to see what he sees and hear what he hears in this world today. He's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but he's willing that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. We're to be long-suffering, long-suffering, patiently, patiently long-suffering. Brother Brian and Sister Money here, both of them have been patient in this young man getting saved. You see, long-suffering, yes, patient, waiting on the Lord, you see, to do something in that young man's life to change him and to save him, you see. That's what it takes, folks, in trying to get people saved. We have to long-suffering patience has to be part of us as we try to imitate God. Be gentle with sinners. And then we see also his forgiving mercy. His forgiving mercy. I'm grateful today to know that God, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, by his grace, through his mercy, I'm saved. He's forgiven me of all my sins. All my sins. But I also know also today, as we go day by day, I thank him for his forgiving mercy every day of my life. Every day of my life. I need it in my life. I need his forgiving mercy. And therefore, we find if we're going to imitate God, we're going to have his forgiving mercy towards other people. Towards other people, you see. See, Paul is trying to create a unity in the church here, a unity in the church. And listen, there's no way. If we are all like Jesus Christ, if we all would imitate Jesus Christ in our life, the church would be one. It would be one. You see, that's why he's emphasizing this, the importance of this. The importance of this is very, very necessary in our lives as children of God. Now, why should we? Why should we be imitators of God? Well, it's our duty. It's our natural duty, really, as a follower, as a believer. It's our natural duty to do that. We're to make our conduct agree with God's conscience, so to speak. In other words, we're to be led by the Spirit of God. And if we are, we're going to imitate him. We're going to imitate him in our life. We're obligated through our gratitude to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower of God, you see. Therefore, back again in verse number 1, calls our attention to obligations. Back in chapter 4, verse 32, of being kind, being tenderhearted, and being forgiven. See, as imitators of God, these truths have to be applicable to our lives. You see, we're exhorted to forgive one another, even as God also, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We're to forgive, be kind. Our highest blessing will be found by our resemblance of God. Our highest blessing will be found by our resemblance of God. The more like God we are, the more blessings we're going to have in our life. The more like God. You see, it's very important here. By what means may we imitate God? Through our worship. Through worshiping God, we imitate Him. We worship Him. See, God in Christ is above us. He's full of beauty and attraction to us. We realize that. We're to imitate Him. You know, we imitate what we admire, don't we? For example, if you like good music, you're going to produce it, ain't it? Ain't you? You're going to turn on a CD. You're going to turn on WHPY. You're going to turn on something that has good music on it if you like it. And you're going to listen to it, aren't you? And, you know, that's good. So therefore, we imitate this by our worship. When we see other people doing good, we are encouraged to do them also. But all we're talking about a class reunion. He went to Saturday, yesterday I think it was. My wife and I was in a nursing home this past week. And we went there visiting somebody. And we were coming out. And I saw out in the cafeteria where they have their little things they have for people to come in, entertainment or whatever. There were some men out there getting ready to sing for them. And I noticed one of them, he looked familiar to me. And I come on outside, and my wife and I were standing there talking to somebody, and this guy come out, went over here to his car to get a guitar out. I said to my wife, I know that guy. That is so-and-so. He went to school with me. And I walked around there where he was, and I said, aren't you so-and-so? He said, yes, I am. I said, do you know who I am? He looked at me and he stuck down his head. He thought a minute and he says, aren't you Keith Holland? I said, I am. I said, and you're so-and-so, aren't you? He said, well, I am. This is somebody that graduated with me from high school. I hadn't seen him since we graduated. And y'all know that's been a long time ago. But, you know, it was amazing to see. It encouraged me to know that somebody I graduated with is singing in a nursing home, trying to encourage those people that are in that home. It encouraged me. That's the same nursing home that Maria and I and Carolyn go to once a month, you see, to try to have a service with them. But it encouraged me now to do that, to continue on doing that, you see, because I saw what he does also. Also by our meditation, we imitate God. Now, in what spirit are we to become imitators of God? Notice it says in verse number, Ephesians chapter 5, and verse number 1, be ye therefore followers of God as who? Dear children. As dear children. We're to be imitators as dear children. I said again, love children, loved children. Children that are loved will imitate their parents. They will imitate their parents. They'll copy their parents, you see. When we lose the childlike spirit in our lives as Christians, we fall away from imitating God. When we lose the childlike spirit, we fall away from imitating God. You see, we also see those who imitate God are most simple and like children. Like children. God wants us to be simple. I really believe that with all my heart. He wants us to be simple, you see. The child must be in us if we are to be a great imitator of God. The child must be in us. Childlikeness, a honesty, humility, you know, being tenderhearted, you know. On Wednesday night, sometimes we have these children get up here to sing. You know, they don't care how they sound. They just want to sing for God. They're just honest children. They stand up here and they sing from their hearts. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to be here and hear them, you see. That's their attitude. They're focused on doing this for God, you see. They're imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, what we said today, we're talking about here, the believer is to follow Christ. We're to imitate him, maybe I should say, imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. This again is one of the greatest challenges in all the Word of God, is to be an imitator of God, to be an imitator of God. And I trust as we continue next week that we'll talk about some of these things, how we're to do it. We are to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, by becoming a follower of God. By becoming a follower of God. You know, when Jesus was walking down by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two men there. He saw Peter and Andrew. They were fishing. What did Jesus say to these men? He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus Christ and followed him. They left their career, if you please, and they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Imitating God. What does it mean to follow God? What does it mean to follow God? We'll continue next week in this chapter. Father, thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I pray now, Lord, that as we go through this chapter, Lord, verse by verse, Lord, you would help us as your children, Lord, to be encouraged, Lord, to realize we have the best and the greatest example to look at and to face and to pattern our life after. And God, help us, Lord, to have a desire to learn more about our Savior, to learn more about God. Lord, that we somehow, Lord, might bring honor and glory to him as we journey this journey. Father, bless your people together now. Lord, we're about to go into another service. And I pray, dear God, that you might bless the singing. Lord, may it honor you. Lord, may it set the pace for the message. Dear God, I pray for our pastor that you would anoint him afresh and anew. Give him the words to say now, Lord, that we all need to hear. And Lord, I pray if there's one here today that knows not Christ as Savior, that today will be the day of their salvation. And Lord, may you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.